Well, today our message is entitled Playing for Keeps. Playing for Keeps. Would you turn over on the other side, on the back there? I have a scripture. And if you read it aloud and together with me, the first one, and I'll read the second one. This same scripture, except different versions. This is Jeremiah 15:19. Ready? Go. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me you will stand. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. Tell somebody next to you, we're playing for keeps here. Now, Jeremiah, if you can read, well, you know, not read along, but just watch along there. I want to go ahead and do the Amplified version. I won't get louder, I'll just read it. Those jokes just seem to jump in any time. Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you return and give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, then I'll give you again a settled place of quiet and safety, and you'll be my minister. If you separate the precious from the vile, cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwanted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness, you shall be my mouthpiece. But do not yield to them. Let them return to you, not you to the people. Are you there? My brother was really good at marbles when I was really little, and I remember we were in this place, the military base where my dad was stationed, and he had a little, you know, a little bag of marbles, and then he goes out and he comes back from the playground, and he has a big bag of marbles. And I said, "Tommy, where'd you get the marbles?" He said, "We're playing for keeps." Tommy had this way where he could, you know. I don't, you know, have you ever seen, you know, everybody get different colored marbles. You put them in a circle, you know, and then, and there's one marble that's bigger, and that's the one you shoot the other ones with. And he had a way, it was almost looked deformed, but he had a way he could jack his hand up, ow, pop that. And even if a marble, one of his was close to somebody else, he hit it and spin theirs out of the circle, and he comes back with his big bag. He's playing for keeps. And I believe that today, if we're not playing for keeps, I know somebody who is. It's the adversary. And he's wanting to take away everything valuable to you. He's wanting to ruin your life. He's playing for keeps. So I'm going to invite you and I to step it up a notch and lay hold of some things today that we won't let go of. Are you there? Because when it comes to the dealing with the mounting pressures in the world's culture, it is important to determine what direction you're going to go. Isn't that right? The Bible warns us that the landscape is going to be littered with all kinds of those who falter in their faith. These are those days. Pressure's up. Culture's turned from God. There's all kinds of faltering. People turning, people going in questions and all kinds of things. And it's like the devil got their marbles. Again, Steve, he's playing for keeps. He wants to rip us off. So the because your soul is so incredibly precious to God, maybe we don't think of this much, but it's so precious to God that he's actually refining you for eternity. So he's working on you here to make you better for there. Some people just want to go up there, but they're not done yet. He's refining us, isn't that right? And a few years back, it wasn't that long ago, perseverance theology was the norm. When people came to Christ, they understood that they're going to go through some trials and some testing and some hard times. It was pretty much in the theology that was being preached and taught. But we've kind of lost our way in American culture. What we have now is a gospel that says, God's going to bless you on the outside, but not on the inside. Yeah, anybody here? I thought I'd have an amen. In other words, the emphasis is all about God's blessing on the outside of your life. But God's looking on the heart. He's looking to do the blessing on the inside of your heart, on the inside of your life, to get in there. And there are certain ways that the adversary goes about watering all the good things of God down and distracting. So I want us to look at a few passages. Ask the person next to you, you want to be part of the God solution or you want to be a part of the problem? Go ahead. How many of you have been a part of the problem for a while? And it's so nice when you God begins to work in spite of yourself, if you become part of the solution, and then on purpose, you know, you begin be better at it. And now, you know, there can come a trustworthiness and faithfulness. I'm going to get to the point after I read an opening scripture. I want to talk about these keeping, playing to keep for keeps and certain things we need to lay hold of. Before I do, I want to mention that there's three different ways that the voice of the Lord comes through the scriptures. One of the ways is prophetically. When it says we proclaim Christ, warning everyone, that's prophetically is to speak in black and white terms and get right down in the business and call people out of something. It's a warning. Don't do this or this will happen. And that's one of the tones that Jesus used. That's one of the tones that just all throughout the Bible you'll see that particular capacity prophetically come forth. Then there's the teaching part. It comes through the either the priest or pastor role. And that's more of, let me tell you what it means so that you can do better. And if you'll learn this instruction well, you will succeed. It's not in your face, it just lays it out for you. Right? And then there's the sage, and that's more the wisdom literature, the Solomon and all that. And Jesus used some of that too, and where you take something and you begin to apply wisdom to a situation. And so we'll look at that in each of these. The first voice here is Jesus, and he's more in a prophetic tone. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then I'll invite you to jump in where I have it for you. But this is starting with verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men be in a field, one will be taken, one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one left. Therefore, tell the person next to you, stay awake. You know, stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day the Lord is coming. And I believe I have this down there for you. This next verse is for that. You can look along there. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. If he'd have known, he would have stayed awake and he wouldn't let that part of the house be broken into. And I wonder, you know, what Jesus is implying here, what house and what's being broken into. That's a real wonderful thought process. And then he says, therefore, you must also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now he gets into even a more cutting prophetic declaration. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he does not know and will cut him to pieces and put him with the hypocrites. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is meek and mild Jesus talking prophetically. He's talking about people in his household. Isn't that something? So let's go ahead and look at the first fill in the blank. If you're playing for keeps, keep your hope on Christ's return. Keep your hope. Don't let the devil steal your hope. He's coming after your hope. Has he ever stole your hope before? He's clever at stealing hope. He will take, and you know what I'll tell you? What? When he gets your hope, you lose your marbles. I'll tell you that right now. You lose it. You lose it. You lose it. When you lose hope, you lose it. But there is an ultimate. An ultimate is that he's coming. And when you keep your heart on his coming, you keep your heart on the hope of his return, things change. You don't lose out. Because there's always another realm of justice. There's always another good thing that's going to happen. There's times that he comes and straightens out stuff. He does come and straighten out stuff. But there's going to come an ultimate straightening out. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians deals with this really well. Paul was telling those beloved people that their affliction, that God is just, and that those who have afflicted him, God is going to afflict. This is not, you know, have you ever, you know, when we were little, if one of us got in trouble, or maybe there was confusion about who actually did it, and we got a whooping, you didn't want one too. Somebody was getting one, you got them. The Lord is coming to afflict those who have afflicted His children. He's saying in this passage, though, Jesus is saying in this passage that if you give up hope in Him, then you don't act right. If you lose hope, the hope of His return, you begin beating up other people who are putting their hope in Him. Is that right? Cast off restraint and hang out with the drunkards. And when Jesus comes back, He's speaking very, very prophetically, very laying the judgment down. It's kind of like warning. Do not lose your hope in Jesus' return. Don't do that. Everything begins to come apart. You can tell somebody, yes, you will lose your marbles. You need to keep your marbles. You need to play for keeps when it comes to the things. This is one of those anchor points. You need to. Now, I want to look at the same concept, but this time from more of a Peter talking. And this is from 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. I think I have in your notes there. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. Everybody say living hope. To a living hope. Say it again. Living hope. It's living. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To a living hope from through Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is these three things. Imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Kept in heaven for you. And this is a really interesting verse. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. There's God's power there, but your faith is involved. Now, he's saying this. He said there's a living hope. And there's an imperishable, undefiled, unfading salvation coming to you. A reward of all that. Are you there? Now, it's very important about this because of the next little verse here. It says, in this you rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Is there anybody in here who has ever gone through the grieving of a trial? Okay. He's saying, now there's something going on here. It says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's this work that happens in you and I when we have Him as the hope. If look, when the pressures come on and you don't think He's coming for you and you get away from that and the devil gets that, you feel that you throw in the towel and say, what's this all about? Right? But when you know that it's all perfecting you and bringing about something that's going to be a reward and honor to you, you hang in there, don't you? You stay put and you go, I'm going to go through this. And I love the beautiful way that Peter, because Peter walked with the Lord. Look at the next little line he says. He says, though, I love this, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Everybody say that. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Is anybody in here like that? You love the Lord. Never seen the Lord yet. Have encountered through His presence, through His Spirit, through His Word, all kinds of things He's done in our heart, but we haven't seen Him yet. But we love Him. And this is that's what this pulls on, this hope of His return pulls on that. It pulls on that. Though you haven't seen Him, you love Him. Though you believe in Him, it says, though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So Peter comes along and says this very pastorally. Let me teach you about this. Here's the things that you're going to get. Jesus was a little scary in that last one. About cutting people up and stuff like that. It was a little unnerving. But it's a warning. Prophetic warning. Don't let the devil get your hope. When it comes to your hope, I'm going to say I'm playing for keeps. I'm going to jump into the next one in a moment here. I'm just going to tread water in the Spirit just for a minute. How's everybody doing? These are days. I don't want anything that I preach or teach not to be connected to the environment we're living in. You're living with a These are the last days, guys. And there's a springing up of wickedness that took root some years ago. It's springing up. And we, back then, when that was being sown, the coming of Jesus was being sown in my heart. And we're closer to His coming now. And people don't hear about it. And you have people turning away, littered on the roadside of their used-to-be faith. So these are days to say, let's respond to the Word. Let's respond to this Word. Because you'll walk out of here and you'll get barraged by all kinds of news that'll be disheartening some sort, some way or another. Just let it be a sign. Jesus is returning. I'm not talking about escapism. I'm talking about the One who cares about you is saying, I'm coming for you. And there's something about having the hope inside that causes you to prepare. And the Lord wants to touch our city. And with my head down in the muck of the world, I'm not prepared for that. But when my face is lifted up and I'm going, this not just to be escapism, I'm not thinking about that. I'm not even really thinking about this could be the day kind of a thing. I'm just thinking, He's coming back. And I'm going up. And it will be worth it all. All of it. And now we got to say, hey guys, let's go together. Don't let the hellish thing, don't let the devil get your marbles. don't let, if he's playing for keeps, don't let him steal the hope that causes you to walk through a fire after fire. How many of you have been refined once or twice? How about, well, I wonder what's going to be this year. By the way, this year is very different from last year. This year there's a turnaround capacity. This year there's something. The Lord keeps saying, I'm coming. Will you get ready? Prepare for me. I'm going to come in this year like in a way that you haven't known. And there's something stirring up. Even that whole word that we received from that first time on Wednesday night about the water turned into wine. I felt like the Lord was saying inside, keep drinking the water of my Spirit. I'm going to release it. And not because there's so many wounds and hurts and troubles in people's lives. I want to release the wine. I'm going to turn it into wine and pour it out on the community and let people see I am a God that can take away the pain and give you joy. It's really good to know that the Lord has a whole lot more for us in the midst of when it don't look good. Are you there? Aren't you glad we're not walking in here? Well, I hope he comes back soon. I'm bummed out all the time. I mean, all the time I'm bummed. Bummed all the time. Can you look at the news all the time? I tell you, everything's wrong. Aren't you glad I ain't talking like that? Hell wants your marbles. And he's playing for keeps. And neither you have your wits about you. When you go on down here, he talks about be sober-minded when it comes to the hope that's in us. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Let's look at number two. Keep your eyes. Plan for keeps. Keep your hope. Keep your eyes. Keep your eyes on the glory of Jesus. Keep your eyes on the glory of Jesus. I'm going to look at a passage here. And this passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Basically, how it starts off. Paul is saying, do I have to recommend who we are? And he starts going his whole concept about the glory of God that came when the first covenant. And the first covenant is when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and there was a glory that came upon him and God wrote the law. And he's talking about that was the letter that kills, but now there's the comes the Spirit that gives life. And what happened with Moses is he came down the mountain and nobody could look at his face. But as the days went by, the glory on his face began to recede, began to dissipate. So he put a veil over his face so they couldn't see that he was losing the glory. And Paul says the reason the glory was diminishing on Moses' face is because that wasn't the permanent glory. The permanent glory is in the glory of the face of Jesus. He says, even today when the law is read, there's a veil over their eyes. They don't see Christ. But there's coming a time to lift that veil. And those who put their faith in Him, He lifts the veil. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what we have here. It says, fix your eyes. Let me tell you, it's really easy today to get veiled. I don't know what if you look at certain things so long, you're covered. You lose that sensitivity and you get the veil over you. You know, is that right? The Lord says, don't have that. Take that off. This verse here says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Isn't that a great line? When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Then he says this, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Lord has really highlighted that verse to me over the even more so over the last several years, because when it comes to freedom, comes to liberty, comes to freedom, the only thing in your when you're stuck in your soul in some area because of some damage or some hurt or in the past, it's because the Holy Spirit is not resonant completely there yet. David said years ago, I desire truth in the inward part. The whole Lord was saying, I desire truth in the inward parts in Psalm 52 or 51. So he's declaring these things. And now he says in the New Testament, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So your participation with the Holy Spirit brings freedom to your life. And then he goes another step and he says, and we all with unveiled face, everybody say unveiled. Unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. You got to elbow somebody and tell them, hey, this is working for me. Come on. Be transformed into the same image. You're looking in the glory of the Lord and you're being transformed into the same image. Before I finish this verse, I want to say there are things that bombard your eye gate. And the more you look at that, the more you become like what you look at. And the Lord's saying, I want you to keep your eyes on the glory of the Lord because you can become like what you look at. And the devil's playing for keeps and he doesn't want you looking at Jesus. He wants to steal your marbles, get you all confused. How many have been so wrapped up in all your problems? Because you're not looking at the Lord and asking Him what He's saying. In this. I'm telling you, when you look and see what He always causes you to be, I'm so serious about this. God always makes me feel better than I was a minute ago. He believes in me. He believes in you. It's just getting you to look where it matters. And when you look into the Lord, you look to Him. He says, as with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You're transformed from one degree of glory to another. And every year, you should be more like Him and have gone from one degree to another. You should never be stagnant and back there on all that stuff. You should be moving ahead. Are you there? Keep your eyes on the glory of the Lord. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I think I added in your verse there too, jumped on down a little bit. Paul, this is just one of those verses. This whole passage here is just incredibly marvelous. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, for we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Who talks like that? But somebody's walking it right, right? Now, it's part you have, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. I can't explain it. I don't even know why they do it. But for some reason, some people get so deceived and so tricked that the Lord just eventually says, I'm going to go ahead and hand you over to a spirit of delusion. I don't think we're quite there yet. Because I see so many now who were involved in the sins, turning out of it. There's coming such a... The consequence of sin is just too death-dealing to hang on for too long. Unless you're really, really given to it. Because sin eats you up. And there are people given to those vile things, turning to God now saying, it didn't work, it didn't work. And grandma was praying for them. And people are coming out. They've been looking at the wrong thing way too long. And they're coming out.
I believe there's people that are coming out of the wickedness that they gave themselves to. I believe it's breaking. I believe the Lord is pouring His glory upon the earth. We're on the cusp of something. We're going to see miracles like we have never seen before. And people coming out of all kinds of brokenness and wanting the Lord. I want to be right in the middle, don't you?
In their case, it says here, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. The God of this age, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, just to keep them from seeing that. And so one of our prayers is, Jesus, lift the veil. Lift the veil off their eyes that Satan has put on them to guard, block them from seeing you. Give them a glimpse. I got a glimpse one day. Give them a glimpse. Once you get a glimpse, you can't argue. You can act like you didn't, but you got it. You can try to stuff it, but you got it. You got a glimpse. And it's like the light comes in and pierces something. The Lord will do that for somebody, and then 4 years later, they go, I got to do. It keeps working on them. Eternal seed. You can come out of all that you gave yourself to in the name of whatever. And God gives you the ability to humble your heart and turn to Him. Because He's relentless. He's not like you and me. He's not impatient. The Lord isn't impatient. He's not mean and angry. He absorbed all the hurt and He took it to the cross. He's allowing the consequences of people's sin to do the thing that it does to them. But the river of forgiveness is still flowing. People can come, whosoever will. This is who we're walking with. And I want to just go ahead and ask you, just really quickly, don't belabor on this too much, but I'll give you 2 seconds. Think of every wicked sin you've ever done. 1, 2, you're off of that now. Now, what makes you think you can't be as forgiving to somebody else? You tell me your argument that you stand on to be judgmental. You got none. 2 seconds of assessment, realize I'm all here by the mercy and grace of Jesus. There's nothing self-righteous in this bone, in these bones here. I'm only here by the sustaining power of the One who gave Himself for me. And that's life. That's life-giving. That's the glory that's permanent. And He says, guys, this light affliction is nothing to be compared to the surpassing glory that we will experience in Christ Jesus. So don't look to those things that are seen. Look to the things that are unseen. For what is seen is temporal, but what's unseen is eternal. For we haven't seen Him yet, but we love Him. We haven't seen Him now, not quite, but we believe in Him. Hallelujah. And lastly, keep your heart. The devil wants your marbles. Keep your heart unto the Lord. Keep your hope on Christ's return. Keep your eyes looking to the glory of Jesus. Keep your heart unto the Lord. Everybody say, keep your heart. Keep your heart. One of the ways that Satan gets to the heart is through the eyes. The eyes. This flesh has 2 words, more and more. It's 1 word repeated twice. You see something and you want it and your heart begins to crave it. It says you got to keep your heart to the Lord. All that stuff, it's not going to fill up your heart, right? And this is where the sage comes out. And this is in the Proverbs, your verses in the Proverbs. I'll read a couple of verses before this, but Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they're healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, For from it flow the streams of life, the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech. Put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Somebody say, keep your heart with all diligence. Be vigilant over your heart. Because the devil's playing for keeps and he wants that thing. He's going to attack your heart in every which way you can imagine. Here's the beautiful thing about the, when it comes to the Lord being able to sympathize with our weaknesses, he was betrayed. You'll feel betrayal. Jesus was wounded. You'll be wounded. Jesus, everything that happened, you hardly accept I wasn't beaten on the cross or anything like that. But I felt pain before. I've been ashamed. How many of you have public shame? Jesus has felt that for you. So what he can do is he can help you keep your heart because he'll say, I'll take that shame. And he'll do the transactions of the heart. I'll take that shame. I'll give you a double portion. I've got plenty of heart healing. I'm a heart healing me. I'm the healer of the heart. I'm the one who, you enthrone me on your heart and I'll just heal your heart. And you'll be going along in life. And we know that around here, something just starts not working right. And the God says, I just want to, there's something in your heart that I want to heal that. I want to fix it. I want to address something inside of you that's just off right now because the springs of life aren't flowing right. And we want to remove this obstacle so that the flow of my life can come through you. Would you guard your heart and not give way to that thing? Is that right? So he wants to overcome those things, heal those things, mend the broken heart. He's near to the brokenhearted. He is close to those. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He's all about the heart. Amazing thing about the heart. You can get healed on the outside, like a leper can get healed, and it can bring emotional healing. But not all physical healings bring emotional healing. But much emotional healing brings physical healing. It causes your immune system to get better. When the Lord heals something broken inside of you, you begin to do better in life and get better physically. It's amazing. So the issue of the heart, guarding that heart and keeping it as the Lord's. And it's really important because of this next verse. Proverbs 17:3. The crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. So there's going to be some trial and some things that go through, just like we heard from Peter a little bit ago about testing the genuineness of your faith. That's a heart issue. There'll be options that'll be presented to you. There'll be one thing, you want to go this way or this way. And you choose the Lord. And it was hard. And it cost you something. It was devastating. Because now that relationship that you'd invested in is no longer there anymore. But they're not walking where you're walking. And they're not going where you're going. It's amazing how those things just get winnowed all throughout. Are you there? The Lord says, I want you to keep your heart. Because the adversary is after it. If I've learned anything about ministry, I've learned that. It's like if you got a bullseye, things right on your heart. Hell wants to attack the heart. That's why it says that they're taking out the fiery darts. Fiery darts are something that have to usually come out of the heart because somehow you were scorched or singed in some way. The devil's playing for keeps. I've seen guys in the ministry that'll go for a distance and then they got attacked in their heart. Some loss in courage, some betrayal, something happened. They never got out of that and they became tough and hardened and did not continue and decided, I'm going to go into insurance or I'm going to go in to do something else. I'm going to do something else with my life. This is way too much. And everybody in this room has the option, some point at which your heart goes, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Are you there? My prayer is that you'll be like Peter, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There is no options. There's no options. And if you play to keep, if you play for keeps, then these are your battlegrounds. These are the areas, the realm of hope, the realm of your eyes, the realm of your heart. You become skilled in keeping those things, and they will keep you. Are you there? Let's go ahead and lift our hearts to the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. There is a very distinct work of the Spirit that the Lord is sending forth this year. It's empowering. It has an influence to help you turn around and go places you could never have gone before because it's of the Spirit of the Lord. This is happening 2015. But not if you don't lay hold. All the Lord's promises are yes, but they're all in Christ and they all have conditions. And the condition is if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. This is not promoting what we're doing here, but it does. The point is, I'm given to this. So the meetings we have are going to further the impact of what the Lord has. That's where this shepherd, under the chief shepherd, is going. So we're going to empower you to be released in all that the Holy Spirit has for you this year. But you have to show up to it. You have to give yourself. Give yourself the more time in the Lord. And whatever caused you to back off in the past, throw it down. This is different time. I think you're picking up what I'm pressing. I'm praying the Holy Spirit just continually cause you to have all the equipping and all the impartation and all these encounters and all the fullness of the Word and the love of God and the impact of His Spirit in and through your life, that you say, yes, you are right, Pastor. You are so right. It's better than all the years that I lived for you up to this point. All those high moments don't compare to what you're releasing, because it matters to God that you're on board with what He's doing in the earth, that you sell out, that it's all about Jesus now. Where you've made allowances for things, just go ahead and unallow it. Fire's going to fall, and you don't want to have to spend the time burning that out. Just go ahead and get rid of that so you can get the fullness of what God wants to do. I'm speaking to your heart by the Holy Spirit. Whatever came along and got you off, if you're off, the Lord says, come here, honey. I'm loving you back. Let's praise Him right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Some of you, this kind of language may even be new to you. You know, it might be like, but the Lord, He has a little thing. It's kind of like building a little altar where you determine you're going to be different by God's help. And let me just go ahead and affirm to you something is so real in God's heart. When you say yes to Him, He never, ever, ever asks for more than the yes. You have no power to pull it off. He's looking to you to look to Him to do it through you. You cannot live for God without Him. So the altar is, I'm going to do this with your help. And the Lord says, almost sometimes, finally, you know, hallelujah. I saw you stressing out trying to live for me on your own. How was that working? Because the Holy Spirit gives a capacity to do things in your life that you could never do. That's releasing. Let's go live. Let's praise the Lord. Say, Lord, it's you doing it. It's not all the burdens. The devil wants to steal your marbles. He wants to come along and say, you're going to really be stressed out trying to live for Jesus today. Look at all those things. He's going to come with that stuff. You say, no, 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 no. Jesus is bigger inside of me than you. You'll find out the devil was only a mouse with a microphone who sounded like a lion, but he was all smaller than that, what you perceive. Let's praise the Lord some more. Let's just thank you, Lord, for victory. Victory, victory, victory. Victory in us. Fresh fire upon our hearts, Lord. Fresh fire. Lord, I pray in this, even this week, that as different ones step out to say stuff, to minister, you'll just show up and be there. To cause them to say, yes, it's different. It's different. Try it out and see. Let me get into your life. Let me have you again as earlier times. Let me be the passion of your soul. Some of you remember those days. Lord, we thank you and praise you for preparing us as the Lord of hosts. We thank you for raising up a mighty army. And we thank you, Lord, that you call us your bride and you're preparing us for such a time. We ask, Lord God, that you'd overflow us these days as we've been talking about. Let there come deep drinking from the fullness of God's Spirit. Deep drinking. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.